I'm losing my mind just a little. It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. I'm Melinda Berner. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Carol Sweet. And we have a lot to get to today. But before we launch into our topics and meet our first guest, I want to remind everyone that this is Hood to Coast weekend. And I understand that the walkers are already in Scappoose. And so please be careful out there. Slow down. Please be patient. It's only once a year, and I think we can get through it. So just a reminder, Hood to Coast is underway. So be really careful out there. So our first guest this morning is Joe Backus. Joe is a longtime Scappoose resident, maybe a lifetime Scappoose resident. And he has decided that he is going to jump in and run for Scappoose mayor. So, Joe, I just want to thank you again for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Joe, you are a lifetime.
Well, 1978. I think I was 8 years old. My family moved out from Portland. So a little over 40-some years, yes.
Close enough. Right, yeah. Right. And so you are a well-known volunteer in the community. Little League, coaching. I know I'm not even touching on the years and years and years that you have given back to the community, but it's always been in a volunteer position and a volunteer role. So why now? Why decide to hop in and run for an office?
You know, I've been asked that a lot lately, and sometimes I even ask myself that. I believe it comes back to how passionate I am about this community and the city. There's a lot of great people in this community, and over the years I've kind of done what I felt my strengths were, and that was coaching. I played sports here and in college, and I coach a lot, so I coach kids, and that's where I thought my strengths were. And after all these years, I've always believed it was a duty to give back and help where I felt I can make the most difference. And right now, this time in my life, my youngest is out of high school, he's in college. I felt that this was the role that I felt most suitable for as mayor of Scappoose. I thought I could help the most people there, especially help a lot of the families that helped me throughout the years by bringing their kids to practice, helping me coach. All those good people, I really wanted to kind of give back and help them live here. I mean, this is a great city and a great area, and I wanted to kind of give back and help in that way now.
That's amazing. If you are elected, you will be the first new mayor in 2 decades. Is that correct? Birch has been mayor for 2 decades.
Yeah, 16 years. I grew up with Scott. I played Little League with Scott. You know, I loved his dad. He used to come down and get the water off the field so we could play sports. I mean, that's a great family. And so I really looked up to him and really appreciate what he's done. And so it wasn't about him as much as it's like, I want to continue that, and I wanted to get involved. And this is where we're talking to a lot of people over the years, and I felt real confident that this is a role that I would be good at. So I thought it'd be time to do that.
So as mayor, you are part of the city council, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it is, I know Scott has a day job, and are you currently working then?
Yes. I work at a small Northwest Steel distributor here in Portland. My great-grandfather worked for him back in the 50s. My grandpa was there for 40-some years. My dad was there 40-some years. I've been there 27 years. I sell steel. I'm an outside salesman, territory manager. So I have a territory, which is Portland, Southwest Portland, Beaverton, Hillsboro. And it's been a great company for my family. It's a small family-owned company, and they've been real good to me, and it's been good business. It's allowed me to coach and raise my family. So I think they've been very supportive, and I think the job allows me the time. I'm not coaching in the Little League necessarily right now. I'm not president anymore. I'll still umpire and help when needed. But I think I have the time now to step up to this plate and try this.
That's great. So what would you say is the biggest challenge facing the city of Scappoose at the moment?
Well, I think we have a lot of opportunities and we need to do them right, but we need to get some stuff done. I was on the committee that kind of started and helped build Veterans Park a little over 10 years ago, and that's still our only park with fields, baseball, softball type soccer areas. I've been here so long, I heard a lot of people say, I moved in, we were about a 3,200 person town, and it was nice and small and quaint. Well, it's growing and growing, and we need to continue to grow, but responsibly. I think we need to find jobs here. I mean, add some jobs here so some people can stay here instead of driving to Beaverton in Portland. And we need to find housing here so people can. We have a lot of teachers and people that work here that actually don't live here. So I think getting stuff done, we're up against a mountain and a river. So I hear a lot of land. We don't have a ton of area just to build and grow. So there's all those combined, I think, give us some obstacles to overcome. But I think we have some great people within the city and on all these committees that I'm meeting. I think we can get some stuff done.
Okay. And one of the public works that I've been impressed with is the new sidewalks. Scappoose has never had sidewalks. And even though a lot of people would say that even, I believe the sign said, is there 88,000 now? 88,090 or something. And that's still small and quaint comparatively. But sidewalks are amazing. Amazing public works. And Scappoose seems to have been moving forward. And now if you're elected mayor and you become part of the city council, what would you like, what would be your first project that you think that you would like to tackle?
There's a couple park projects that I would like to get involved with and learn more. Like you said, with sidewalks, I even ran today and you're running on some streets and stuff that are a little scary and really narrow. And I'd like to be able to see more, you know, walking, running, lanes, biking, stuff to where we can get out. I know Chapman Landing, I do run the CZ Trail or walk it quite a bit and see there's some great opportunities down there on the waterfront to maybe build something. The Grabhorn Park, we've been part of that now for several years and nothing's really transpired on. I like to see something get done there that serves the most people. The fields, I know we have a new turf field going in at the high school and that's real exciting and that opens up a lot of opportunities, but I think the city still has some growth there in the park. Scott's done a great job. We do have some new parks out there in the last 16 years. We've got a couple right on the horizon. It would be really nice to get them done soon, sooner than later.
Okay. Carol, did you have a question?
I do. I like what you're saying so far. I was at the 50-year meeting for Scappoose a couple months ago. And one of the things that people were talking about is we don't have a youth center. We don't have a place for people to gather who are younger or disabled, and we need those kind of places. I mean, kids sort of come here, get through, go off to college, and don't come back. And I would love to see something like that. How do you feel about getting, as opposed to just a park? I mean, parks are good too. We need that, but.
No, I think that is a good one. I see that, from my three sons right now are pretty much in Scappoose, and that's kind of not the norm. Like you said, a lot of them graduate and are gone. I was on the school board at one time. My wife is a longtime teacher here, and now my son is also a teacher at the high school. So I would like to develop and work with the schools. There is some property that they own. There's opportunities for community centers. I think we really do need to work on that. I know over at the mid school, there's always been talks of developing that into more of a community center when a new school is built. And I think that is huge. I don't need just big ballparks. We need green space. We need areas that you can recreate inside in the winter. And so I think that is something I would really like to look into.
Great. Thank you. And are you running unopposed? Has Scott announced that he will not be running?
I haven't heard anything official from anybody at this time. the rumors out there. I would hope that, I think the deadline to file is the end of the month. And until that time, I really am not sure what anybody is going to do without asking them.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you for hopping on with us this morning. And I'm sure we'll hear more from Joe as we get closer to the election. Thank you so much. And Carol and I are going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to chat about the 911 system in Columbia County and what you should know about it. So stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks, to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533.
Not everyone believes in the same way or has the same customs and cultures as everyone else.
At Columbia Funeral Home and Memorial Gardens, we believe that helping people through a difficult time is a service, not a business.
It's not a package A, a package B, or a package C. It's totally about the family and what their needs are.
Columbia Funeral Home and Memorial Gardens, a celebration of life well lived.
What company can keep you cool in the summer and warm in the winter? It's available when you need them. It's family-owned and operated and gives you an automatic 10% discount when you mention this ad. It's Felton's Heating and Cooling. Felton's Heating and Cooling specializes in air conditioning, heating, sales, service, and repair. So call Felton's Heating and Cooling now for a free estimate. 1-866-687-7494. That's 1-866-687-7494. No job too big or too small. Felton's Heating and Cooling can do it all. Let Felton's family keep your family comfortable year-round with energy-efficient cooling and heating. Felton's Heating and Cooling. Five-star service at an affordable price. So call now. 1-866-687-7494. That's Felton's Heating and Cooling. 1-866-687-7494. Felton's Heating and Cooling, proud to help sponsor sports coverage here on KOHI.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. If you're just joining us this morning, Carol and I were just chatting with Joe Backus. Joe is a longtime Scappoose resident who has announced that he is running for mayor. And as we were on the air, the current mayor, Scott Burge, has announced that he will not be running again for the seat. So it sounds as if Joe may be running out of post. I believe the filing date, we believe it is the end of this month. So that would be August 31st. So you're all caught up there. And our next guest this morning is Tyler Miller. Carol and I are going to be talking with Tyler about the current 911 radio system and what you need to know about it and some of the issues that our local emergency responders have been having with this issue, with the system. So thank you, Tyler. Thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, great.
So Tyler, let's start with What are challenges that the current 911 system is experiencing?
Well, the main issue is coverage, and that relates to the ability for the first responders to talk to other first responders and to the 911 dispatcher, and to receive information from the 911 dispatcher and other public safety responders. That is the main issue. Is there's probably less than about 50% coverage countywide, and the basically the national standard is, or best practice, is about 95%, and the coverage continues to degrade. And this has been a known issue for at least the last 8 years, and there's been consultants involved to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the recommendations of these consultants are not being implemented, so to speak, and so the system continues to degrade.
Thank you. And you've been on my show previously talking about this very issue. And as anyone who lives outside the Highway 30 corridor understands, we have the same situation with cell service. There, we have obviously we are divided between the river and the hills, and we have transmitters which and cell towers work the same way. So there's it's sometimes difficult to get a signal out. Is that right? Because just the interference of the trees, and maybe the equipment you need signal to make these radios work. Correct.
That's correct. I mean, the radio sites have to be in the right location, and they have to be properly maintained. They're called mission critical public safety systems are designed to overcome that interference and provide coverage where the first responders need it. And when the system first went in about 21, 22 years ago, the system was designed for that. It never performed to the specifications and requirements that was actually listed in the agreement and the contract and what was represented to the first responders throughout the county, but it was much better than what it is today. We heard Rob Anderson, who's a board member and a firefighter paramedic for Scappoose Fire, testify in, I believe it was the March 2009-01 board meeting that, and I quote him, that I kind of quote him anyway, that he has come to the realization that the old system prior to 2000 worked better than this current system.
Wow. And the current system is VHF, which is very high frequency, which is also the system that is used along our inland waterways. Correct?
Yeah, VHF is used for the marine channels too, which you are, of course, very familiar with given your profession there. So VHF is what we use here. And traditionally, VHF was used in rural areas because it overcame hills and vegetation a lot better than UHF ultra high frequency. However, because over time the interference, they call it a noise floor, it's basically the default noise floor, and a lack of a better way of explaining it, has basically came up, and LED lighting has contributed to that. And so as people install LED lights in their houses and in their buildings, it raises the noise floor on VHF, and that's called noise. And so that noise, depending on how bad it is, can actually impact the first responder signal, because if the noise signal is higher than the first responder signal, by the time it gets to that antenna on that site, the noise is going to take priority over that first responder's radio signal. And so right, you know, there's two different issues here right now. There is the condition of the current system, which is causing major issues for the first responders, and they've testified to that and give public testimony in advisory committee meetings and in other forums that they do not have the ability to effectively communicate. That's really scary. As a first responder, it's really scary to know, especially in our county where you don't always have backup. We're not Portland. We're not jurisdictions with more public safety responders. So they're often responding to these calls on their own. And so for them not to be able to have the ability to even call for help, it just makes it that much worse. And to think that doesn't impact our recruiting and retention abilities to be able to get qualified first responders to apply for the agencies in our county, I think would be naive, because they can go to Portland, they can go to Washington County, and they can make 30% more on a monthly basis, and they have better equipment and safety equipment. Just because they're police officers doesn't mean that they're not entitled to have the safety equipment. You know, it's the radio is probably, the radio is used more than a police officer's firearm per se. I mean, the radio is probably used more than any other equipment on a daily, you know, for an officer's daily duties than any other piece of equipment. So, you know, it's really important. But anyway, it's not to go down the rabbit hole there, but the noise floor on VHF is affecting, does have an effect on the current system's condition. That is something that, because of where we're located, we're not really going to be able to overcome. Multiple engineers have said that. We're, you know, in the northeast corner of the state here, we have all of the Columbia River frontage, and so the signals come right up the Columbia River, and then we have all the exposure from Washington State that's hitting us too. So we're in this perfect place to where we're getting all of this noise from other areas, and it is part of what is impacting the current condition of the radio system. But the other part is that it just hasn't been properly maintained, And over the years, these various engineers, consultants that 911 has hired have came back and in writing said, you need to do A, B, and C. They've done A, but they have not done B and C. And that is a real example. We have an outline. We have a letter from a previous engineer back in 2014, letter written in 2016, that says, you need to do this, this, and this. And they did part of A, but they didn't even do B or C. And I get really frustrated over this because 911 services are perhaps the most important services in our county. I don't think I have to explain that any further. And we have people in the positions, in a position of public trust, that we are entrusting to make sure that these systems work correctly. And for whatever reason, it's not getting done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yesterday, the 911 board had a meeting, and Carol, you and I and Tyler, we were all there. We were all watching. And interestingly enough, this very situation about emergency responder happened. There's another piece to it. And I believe you mentioned it, that somebody on Rocky Point had a medical issue or there was an accident. And when they called 911, Washington County was dispatched, which, having lived on Dixie Mountain, I understand it's a very complicated spot up there because it is Washington County, Multnomah County. There's a bunch of counties converge, but common sense would dictate that SCAPCUS would come because they're the closest. So tell us what happened.
So that was me that commented on it. Do you want Carol to answer that, or do you
want
either one of you?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So back in 2017, Columbia County decided that they were going to join Washington County's CAD system. CAD stands for Computer Aided Dispatch. It is the backbone of all 911 center operations. When people call 911 or non-emergency, all of the details of their incident get put into what's called a CAD incident. It's their address, the details, the priority, everything. So there was multiple issues with that. Columbia County was an afterthought. The RFP had already been awarded. So Columbia County wasn't able to come in and say, this is what our first responders need for this to be the right decision for us. It was an already done deal. So Columbia County comes along, joins on to Washington County, WACA's CAD system. And there's a bunch of different issues, a bunch of, as I perceived, a misrepresentations by the vendor. Columbia County, in the beginning, at least in the beginning, I don't know if they still are, they were literally RDPing over to Washington County's 911 center to be able to see CAD screens, and they were using internet connections to do that. So again, this is a mission critical, emergency system, and we're using consumer internet lines to connect us to to the servers. So basically, if the internet goes out, and we know how that works around here, right, they would lose connectivity. And they were supposed to put in a redundant line over a microwave path to address that issue. And of course, that didn't get done for a year. Actually, I don't think that still is done now. But anyway, what's happening is the CAD system is not appropriate. To put it simple, it's not appropriate for our use. So the new CAD system is based on, it's called location-based dispatching. And so how that works is basically every piece of equipment, every police car, every ambulance, every fire truck has AVL in it, automatic vehicle location, uses GPS, and it reports they call it an asset. So a fire truck in this case would be an asset, an ambulance would be an asset, a police car would be an asset. And it reports those assets back to the CAD system and shows the dispatcher on their, what's called a CAD map, where those assets are and their availability. Our units do not have the ability to have that GPS AVL because, as we were talking about earlier, cell phone signal is not available throughout the county. And then there's some other issues to it too. But the bigger story, or the point is that in this specific example, what I was told by a first responder very close to the incident is that all of SCAPCUS Fire's assets were not showing up as available because the CAD system doesn't have the ability to show it that way. However, all of Washington County's units do have the ability to show their assets, current status, and where they're located. And so the CAD system automatically dispatches and recommends units based on their availability, their proximity. So the CAD system and the dispatcher was seeing these units are the closest, so I'm going to dispatch them. So in this case, the closest units were Washington County units responding into SCAPCUS Fire's jurisdiction because SCAPCUS Fire's assets were not showing on the CAD system as available.
I see.
So that took their responders over an hour, and this incident was close to Highway 30 and Rocky Point, so very squarely within Scappoose Rural Fire District's response area. If that would have went right, that probably would have been maybe about a 10-minute response to get to the patient, but this turned into, as I'm told, an over an hour incident. And that just blows my mind, because if you think about why that's happening, I just explained how I think it'd be naive to think that that's not happening with other incidents, because right. You know what I mean? I mean, just what I explained and how the CAD system mm-hmm. dispatches the units, it's like, how is that not happening for other incidents too? So that's the one that we know about. And yeah, again, that was a trauma patient, and they basically waited over an hour for emergency medical services. So think of that if it was a cardiac arrest or a major car crash.
It's unacceptable.
Those people
would probably be dead. Right. Yeah. So we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how this system is impacting Scappoose schools. So stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
It's time to get comfortable with American Standard, the name you're already familiar with.
Hot, hot, hot.
Call Western Heating and Cooling today for your free in-home comfort analysis. Local in Scappoose next to Leather Shell. Call today, 503-543-5599. It's easy. Remember, $55.99. Call today. Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533.
Don's Rental is perfect for your wedding. Don's has everything you need, from tents, poles, glassware, paper plates, napkins, and don't forget to call Don's Rental for all the materials for a great reception. Don's Rental is your full-service rental store at 2274 Columbia Boulevard in St. Helens. Go online and get the entire inventory of rental products at donsrental.com or partypeddler.com. Open 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 4 on Sunday. Got questions? Call Don's Rental now at 503-397-0585. Don's takes Visa, Discover, MasterCard, and American Express, and yes, we still take cash. Need it? Don't buy it. Rent it from Don's Rental. Don's Rental is your full-service rental store at 2274 Columbia Boulevard in St. Helens. 2274 Columbia Boulevard in St. Helens.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. And I are chatting this morning with Scappoose City Councilor Tyler Miller about the 911 system. And Tyler, would you like to, I want to continue our conversation about what exactly, we were talking about the issues with the current system. And during break, you were talking about how it's an overall county problem, but explain to our listeners why it's become a real problem for Scappoose schools.
Well, yeah, so the bigger main problem is that there's a major lack of coverage on the public safety radio system countywide for first responders to be able to do their job and safely do their job and also receive the information that the dispatchers and other units are giving them. A component of that is the school safety piece, and that is that there has to be coverage in schools and around schools for first responders in the case of these hate to say it, school shooting incidents, which, you know, Uvalde has really captured the importance of the effectiveness of emergency services responses. And, you know, that's a large part of that is a whole nother issue. But if you just imagine that first responders would not be able to communicate because of a defective communication system, a defective radio system, you know, even if police officers did do their job and did do the correct thing, it would inherently be hampered by the inability to communicate or to have that communication with other responders. Having been through the active shooter training as a first responder myself years ago, I know firsthand what it's like. If you were not able to communicate you know, important details to other incoming responders, and this is all this stuff unfolds so quickly, you know, it would inherently, I think it would be silly to think that it wouldn't cause the additional loss of life or other people to get hurt if first responders weren't able to communicate. So we have the issue of the coverage maps that 911's consultant produced, showing that there's no coverage around the outside of many of these schools, and or at least it lacks in a really big way. And these maps, the coverage were verified by the first responders. They looked at them and they said, yeah, I have coverage or I don't have coverage. So they're computer generated maps, but they were actually verified by a committee of first responders that actually verified the coverage too. So for that reason, I don't think it's debatable that there's coverage there or not coverage there. The in-building, the in-school issue is another issue, and I have brought that up multiple times to 911 board during public testimony month after month after month, and we've just gotten nothing. It's been silent. And I think it was June's board meeting, I specifically said, I have these radios that I will donate, and because of my technical knowledge, I know what needs to be done, and we could put these on the tower or below the tower at the high school, and it would solve not only the coverage issues around the three schools, you know, because there's a cluster there, there's the high school, Otto Peterson, and Grant Watts, it would solve the coverage issues for at least our three schools, but nobody from 911 is communicating with us, and we need their participation in this because we can't even connect to their system without their participation. So I've been in contact with Tim, and Tim and I have been communicating on this, and we're trying to make progress on it, but we do need the 911 district's participation here, but we're not even getting them to respond. I checked with the city manager again yesterday. Nobody's contacted her. I talked to Tim yesterday. As far as I know, nobody's contacted Tim. Okay. I think you would have mentioned that.
Well, let's ask Tim. So joining us right now is the Scappoose School Superintendent, Tim Porter. Thank you again, Tim, for taking the time to join us with this. So Tim, you testified yesterday in front of the 911 board. Where do you stand on all this?
Yeah, so thank you for having me, by the way. I appreciate the opportunity. I talked to the 911 board yesterday, and basically what I wanted to convey is that the school district is more than happy to collaborate on whatever system needs to be put in place, because currently the 911 system, as Tyler was mentioning, does not reach our school district properties. And so we understand that that's something that should be rectified. And I just want to make sure that we get whatever system, whatever new system gets put in place, I want to make sure that it covers the areas that it needs to for the enhanced security of not only our community, but our staff and students.
Thank you. And so, Tyler, you mentioned the three that are in the cluster, but they're still the middle school, Warren, and Salvi Island. They're all part of the Scappoose School District in one way or another. So have those buildings also been looked at?
Yes, and there's missing coverage from at least Warren, and from many of the St. Helens schools. Rainier School District is totally lacking. Klaskanai is out. So is Vernonia. So, you know, while I can help, and, you know, Tim's committed to helping get the Scappoose issue fixed, and we have the radios for that, I don't have them for the rest of schools, and that's not an endeavor that we should have to undertake either. I think that it's 911. My feeling is that the community, I know I do, would want 911 to step in and take care of this issue because it involves their radio system, their communication system. And if I remember right, there's over $3 million in the equipment reserve fund that they have just been saving up for things like this, for improving the radio system. And it's been $1 million for as long as I can remember, over $1 million for as long as I can remember. So they have the funding for it. The funding all comes from the same place. It comes from our taxpayers. It's there. We know this is a very serious issue. What could be more important than school safety? And we heard yesterday, and you know, you guys were on the call, that they basically completely deflected and said it's not our problem, it's the school district's problem to deal with. And that was not what I was expecting to hear. I was at least expecting to hear, how do we help? You know, and then we engage in dialogue on next steps to be able to fix that and fix it as soon as possible. But it was a complete deflection of just not our problem.
So it sounds like, okay, Carol?
I just wanted to add, I was at that meeting on the Zoom yesterday also, and I study a lot of these things just out of curiosity, and I've been studying Uvalde and what's going on. And one of the things that was pointed out over and over is, if you knew that there was an issue and you didn't do anything about it, you are responsible. And I think that's why the committee, one particular member said, oh, it's all the school's problem, it's not ours, and because they're trying to deflect responsibility. But it is a 911 issue. We as a community support that, and we want it to work. And to think that, and heaven knows we don't want to ever have something like this happen, but if it did, and they said, yeah, well, you knew that you couldn't get any coverage there, then that becomes whoever made that decision's problem, not just. And it really annoys me when we're supposedly the third highest income SCAPOOS community in the state, and we have this money, as Tyler pointed out, and we're not even going to look at what we could do, which is what he was asking, is let's do a survey and figure out what we can do. It's not an RFP, it's a what do we have to do, and then we go from there.
So we just have like a few minutes before a break, but Tyler, they were talking about two different systems. The board has acknowledged that we need a new system. There's a 700 megahertz, is it megahertz? An 800 megahertz systems. And it could be anywhere between 11 and probably, they said 30, one of the board members 30, but I'm thinking it's probably more like 40, let's be realistic. And the longer they've been waiting, they've been talking about this for at least, you said 8 years, they've known about the problem, but we've been talking about this for at least 3 years. So obviously the cost has risen. So we're looking at potentially a $40 million bond that is going to need to be put before Columbia County. So do you think, I mean, Tim, I'd like you to be part of this too. They need to decide on a system, and they seem to be vacillating between the two. And now they're talking about hiring a consultant to tell them which one to do. Meanwhile, time is, you know, wasting. So what do you think, 700 or 800? Does it really matter? We need a new system. Does it matter which one?
Yeah, I actually paid $12,000 of my own money to have an engineer come in and look at VHF versus 700, 800, because that was the topic that nobody could get past, and it was the first question that needed to be answered. And so I got these maps, and we tried to set up a meeting with the 911 board, and last minute they decided to have it on a Monday afternoon and didn't publicly notice it or let anybody know about it. So we had three people show up. And the whole intent of that, and that was a couple months ago, was to basically clear the issue up of, do we do VHF 700, 800, because that is the question everybody has. So I spent that money because, you know, just trying to get everybody on the right track and move this forward, because public safety is so important. And that's what they did to me. I had an engineer do them. They held the meeting on a Monday last minute, didn't publicly notice it. And like I said, I think three people showed up. So if we would have actually used that opportunity as it was intended, everybody would have had a clear answer on that, and we could have been moving forward. But
so what was the engineer that you paid? Did they come down on 7 or 8?
Every single engineer and consultant that even the 911 district has come, I actually don't know why this is so baffling, but all of them have looked at VHF 700, 800, and because of the interference issue on VHF, 7 or 800, which is pretty much the same thing. You can say 7 or 800, it's pretty much means the same thing. They've all opined that it's 700, 800. VHF is not an option anymore.
So now it would just be the decision about which vendor to go with, what, where, and to stay with Washington County. There was discussion yesterday, stay with Washington County or go with another county. And I see that we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to talk more about that and talk about, you know, that four-letter word, which is bond. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Setting the Record Straight.
Hot, hot, hot. It's time to get comfortable with American Standard, the name you're already familiar with. Hot, hot, hot. Call Western Heating and Cooling today for your free in-home comfort analysis. Local inch caboose next to leather shell. Call today, 503-543-5599. It's easy. Remember, 5599. Call today. Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533.
If you've been spending more time at home lately during the pandemic or just doing some spring cleaning, chances are you found items you just don't use much, or you just need to store some things your kids refuse to part with. No problem. Now you have McNulty Waste Storage. McNulty Waste Storage gives you all the convenience and security you need at an affordable price. 24-hour access, on-site security, wide variety of unit sizes, climate control, digital video surveillance, drive-up access, and great customer service. McNulty Way Storage is happy to announce RV and boat storage. So contact us now at McNulty Way Storage. Email McNulty Way Storage at McNulty Way Storage at gmail.com, or call 503-397-1809, located at 586-45 McNulty Way in St. Helens.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. Carol and I are wrapping up our conversation this morning with Tyler Millers, who is a Scappoose City Councilor, and Tim Porter. And Tim is the superintendent of Scappoose Schools. So before break, we were talking about the system, the potential system that really needs to be invested in. It's a 700 or 800 megahertz. And so there are lots of options, but ultimately it's going to need a bond measure. And systems can range, I heard yesterday, from $11 to $35-40 million. And obviously you have some thoughts about what you think would be the best system. And is that system, could Columbia County be on its own CAD system and not have to partner with Washington County, so we don't have what happened, you know, recently? You know, is that a possibility that we can control our own destiny out here?
Yeah, so CAD and radio, just to be clear, are two different things, and the CAD system is already partnered with Washington County. And yeah, we do need to be on our own CAD system. When we were for about 18 years, and it worked better, from what I'm being told by the first responders, it worked better than the current one, and there's been a lot more cost than what we're ever disclosed up front with the current one too. So yes, you know, there's plenty of counties around us that are similar size. Umatilla-Mora County is on a CAD system that I think would be very appropriate. But yes, it would be more realistic for us to be on our own CAD system at this point, especially because, from what I'm being told, Washington County is not willing to make the changes to ensure that our first responder units get dispatched to the proper incidents.
Okay. What do you think? Do you think that Columbia County residents are willing to go for a bond? I mean, Tim, I know school districts often struggle with that same thing, but with support of the school district, I mean, do you think that the school board, I know, like, I'm throwing you under the bus here, but do you think that your board would support, I mean, your board is concerned about this issue?
Yeah, I think the board is definitely concerned about the issue. I would say, though, that while we want the system to be in place that Tyler's been talking about that would give us better coverage, I want to make sure that it's clear that we don't have a safety issue in our schools currently because of this. We have workarounds, by using an incident command system that we can communicate with local law enforcement and first responders in a manner that is sufficient for the protection of our staff and students. So I want to make sure that's clear. This does not hurt the safety. It would be a better system, and they'd be able to communicate outside of our schools, whereas currently they'd be, we would have to have a go-between during some of that communication. The police department, if we set up an incident command system and something was happening in our schools, I would be there with the radios we use for the school district. They would be there with their radios, and we'd be able to communicate with each other that way. So it would probably increase the efficiency of it, but there isn't currently an issue with us being able to communicate. So I want to make sure that's really clear to people out there that our schools do have a system in place that works. It's just not as efficient as it could be.
Thank you.
Regarding bonding, we have our own issues with bonds that we're going to need to do. I mean, I don't think it's a secret that the middle school is close to 100 years old and is at some point going to need to be replaced. And I think that bonding on top of that at the tune of $30 to $40 million would be a stretch for citizens of Scappoose, at least. The good point of the bond for the 911 is that it would be the whole county, whereas the school district is just going to be the patrons that live in our school district community.
Sure. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you so much. So Tyler, where do we go from here? It sounded yesterday, and I can't speak for the board members, but from what I witnessed yesterday, that there's once again just still in a holding pattern.
Yeah, so as discussed yesterday in the board meeting, the city has engaged Tate Communications for professional engineering to answer the questions that we keep hearing from the first responders and from the board members over and over again. And they're professional career engineers using the TIA standards, which is the gold standard for designing radio systems. So I can't imagine why there would be any uncertainty where to go after they get their engineering done. And we're going to be polling everyone, the stakeholders, 911 board, other elected officials, school district superintendents, school board, so on, to see when they're available. And we really want everybody to be able to attend that meeting because it will be very educational. We really want to see all the school districts on the radio system for just to increase the ability to respond to emergencies in the most efficient and safest way. That's kind of the gold standard across the nation right now, is all the public service agencies being on a single radio system so they can communicate and share information when needed. We know that Cascadia is in the future, other natural disasters. So the city of Scappoose is really thinking forward, in that we want to have our public works, our schools, everybody on the system, because we know that it's going to be all of the government service providers providing services to our community, not just police officers and firefighters who have a communication needs. All those people are going to have to come together to restore life as we know it or had known it when Cascadia or whatever happens. And so, and there's not a lot in additional cost to that either. And then what that will also do from our perspective is that we hope that it will open up grant opportunities to offset the cost that the district will have to ask for from the voters. And that's really what I want to see. I don't want to see the 901 district, number one, go for the most expensive system when there's an alternative that would do just as good, if not better. That's my first priority, and that information so far is really being avoided, and I think it's extremely suspicious. But I'm working on trying to get that information in a forum and platform that can't be ignored. That's what my whole goal has been all along, and that we can be transparent with the public and we can show them, hey, there is this other option. And so if the 911 board, you know how I am, I'm very direct and candid. If they want to be shady go with something more expensive that doesn't give the end users what they said they needed, then, you know, we have this document and this engineering out there that I will share with the public, saying, you know, showing what happened here, what was available and was avoided. So, you know, but anyway, the we want to see everybody on the same system so that we do have the ability to communicate and open up the possibility for grants, and that we do try to get grant funding before we run out to the public and say, hey, you know, Joe Public, we want $20 million, $30 million, whatever, to do this system. And again, this isn't the city of Scappoose who'd be asking for this. This is the 911 district, which is our own board. I want to be clear on that. But we're seeing this, and we're, you know, we're just like, what in the heck is going on? This does not make any sense. So there's a lot of opportunity to do some really great things here and to also offset the cost to taxpayers. And I'm looking at that, and I have my other, you know, city councilors involved, and they've been great. The city manager's been great. Our police chief's been great. They're really trying to help get this information in front of the right people so that the best decision can be made for Columbia County wide, everybody that's served by the 901 district, not just the city of Scappoose, and also the taxpayers, you know, making sure the taxpayers aren't being taken advantage of. And, you know, we're just concerned that if a huge bond comes out too, it's going to impact the ability for the fire district to get the funding that they needed to, you know, for their critical operations, the school district. You know, no further explanations needed there. The school district has to have money to educate our kids. And also, you know, the sheriff's office has a levy. You know, they certainly need more money to add patrol deputies. But, you know, there's all these competing interests, and we got to understand that every single one of them is really important to the well-being of our community. So
absolutely. And thank you for pointing out that that is not just a potential shooter situation. As many of us know, train goes through by the Scappoose and St. Helens schools. And there has been an incident years ago with a train and an ethanol tank. And one school had to be evacuated. And if they're not on the same system, and if we're not able to communicate effectively, all of us as a community, we're going to have issues. So I think that that has been pointed out. And like Tim said, they do have a workaround at the moment. But that doesn't mean that we don't need this system to improve for the entire county. And Carol, you live in a in an area with limited coverage of anything. And I mean, how do you feel about the fact that you might not get a first responder up there?
Well, I know it's luckily we're all well behaved up here on Rubinsky Road, but we have had
most of you.
I mean, 16 years ago, they promised me that there's going to go in any day now, and it hasn't yet. And I think it's frustrating. I mean, we still pay taxes, and I'm connected to police world and response world, and I want to see the best. I mean, I don't see any other way. I mean, and we have a community that has the money and has the will to do it. It's just figuring it out.
Right. And as we all know, we are 35 miles from the closest hospital, no matter which way you go. So it's more vital. I think it's essential, actually, for our emergency medical folks to be able to get to people when they are they're in a crisis, or there's been an accident, or otherwise, because we are so far from medical help. So if we can't even dispatch them properly, we are in a world of hurt out here. So it's not just about the schools.
Right. And you and I were on the radio. Do you remember on the radio raising money for the market in Klatskanai? And they were raising money for the artificial turf, and they beat us by, you know, it was like one day they had the money, and I'm like, see, if the community cares, they can come through with it. And I think that's important. So
no, I agree. Absolutely agree. And this is definitely something. And I just want to thank you again. We're out of time. I want to thank Tim from Scappoose school superintendent. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And Tyler, of course, you're always welcome back. Thank you for explaining the situation so clearly. And hopefully next time you're on, we'll have, you know, word on some progress. But I think this is right now, it's up to the 911 board. So if you're out there listening, we're all waiting for you to move forward on this issue. So that is it for us this week. Carol and I will be here next Friday. Make it a great week. This has been Setting the Record Straight.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com. Oh, take a step.